Time, the silent herald of life and death, success or failure. The unseen force that measures man's destiny, reaching its most fateful moment as it slowly strikes the 11th hour. Another Conway Denning success is confidently predicted when he opens tonight at the Irving Theatre, scene of so many of Denning's London successes. In his new play, Magic is a Dream, Conway Denning reverts to the type of role that made him famous, and he's famous. I must remember to take Hildegard to lunch sometime. Now, let's see what the other papers say. Backstage gossip already claims another Denning smash hit. But we hear on the grapevine that all is not well with the star of Magic is a Dream. It would seem that since the first day of rehearsals, Conway Denning has been rung at precisely 11 a.m. each morning and warned not to open in his new play. At first, Denning was inclined to treat the warning as a hoax, but reports indicate that during the last few...
Wait!
You called, sir?
I yelled. Have you seen this paper?
Only when I brought it to you, sir. As I always do, leaving it on your bed with the others.
Or did you carefully arrange for this rubbish to be printed?
I read the papers when you've finished with them, Mr. Denning.
Why don't you say what you want to say, Grayson? I mean, it must be very galling for ex-Captain Grayson to play the part of a snivelling valet.
Mr. Denning, I've told you before, I'm deeply grateful for this job, and I...
But it seems poor repayment when one considers that you saved my life during the war, doesn't it? Be honest, Grayson. You're like the rest of them. You hate the sight of me. You'd have good reason to try and throw me off balance today, wouldn't you? Good enough reason to try and give me a worse case of first night jitters than I've already got. Who told the papers about this? Was it you? If I find out that it was you, I'll have you back in the gutter, living on that miserable pension of yours faster than you can think, Grace.
Sir Dilly, have you seen this report in the...
Oh, I see you have. Sometimes I think you're wasted as an agent, Lyle. That was quite an entrance. Almost very convincing.
Oh, Denning, you don't think that I...
Well, do you? Someone let the cat out of the bag. I gave strict orders that not a word of this was to get into the press. Did you think the play needed any more publicity than the fact that Conway Denning is opening in it?
It's nearly 11 a.m., Mr. Denning.
I don't care what time it is! Do you think he'll ring this morning? Yes, well, don't think because you're both with me at 11 that it clears either of your suspicion. You could easily have paid someone to keep this up every day for more than a month. Those infernal phone calls.
You'd better try and calm down, Denning. After all, tonight's the important thing.
You mean my life isn't? Where would your 10% come, eh, Lyle? That agency of yours exists because of Conway Denning. Without my name, it'd fall like that. If I find who is responsible for this, I'm not going to answer it. Leave it, Grayson. I won't answer it. I won't.
Well, perhaps it's not the man.
Ah! Why don't you leave me alone? All right. Listen. I don't know who you are, and I don't care. Just leave me alone, you hear? Leave me alone!
Conway. Conway, it's me, Myrna.
What? Who?
Your wife, dear.
Didn't you know that ringing me at this particular time would... I'm sorry, Myrna. What is it?
I'm very sorry, Conway. I had no idea of the time. I rang to see if it was all right to come over and lunch with you. We always make a point of it with your other players, and I thought that... Conway, you always said it brought you luck, and I didn't see why just because we're living apart, but... Well, you know what I mean.
Yes, I'm very grateful, Myrna. It will be wonderful. Come as soon as you like. Goodbye. Every time I was opening that night, Harris, no matter where we were, we contrived to lunch together. It came to be a thing that meant...
It's exactly 11 a.m., sir.
It's him. Well, don't answer it. Yes? Yes?
There's still time to run, Denning.
Who are you? Look, you must tell me who you are.
Denning, don't open in magic is a dream.
But you must tell me who you are.
If you do, it will be your last performance. If you're fool enough to go through with it, make it a good one, won't you?
Hello. Hello. Answer me, will you? Answer me. He's gone.
Well, surely you must be able to recognize the voice by now, Conway.
I can't. It's familiar somehow, but muffled. It reminds me of a criticism that was written about me years ago. Conway Denning never listens to any voice but his own.
I'm sure it's only someone's idea of a joke, sir. People in the limelight are often subjected
to... When I need your sympathy, Grayson, I'll advise you of the fact. Get out of here and run me about. Harris, get on the phone. I want the cast of Magic is a Dream here on the double. Get that fool Bernstein, who imagines himself the producer, and Pinkerton of publicity. I'm going to find out who blabbed to the press if he takes the rest of the day.
Oh, but Denning, it's ridiculous. Tonight they've got to open in a new show. You can't
just shut up and do as I tell you, Harris.
Or would you rather I found a new and more cooperative agent?
What time is it, Lionel?
Oh, it's 1:30, my love.
Seems my lunch date has stood me up.
Conway's been locked in there with a whole lot of them for more than an hour. Are you going to wait?
Yes.
You wouldn't consider lunching with me.
You wouldn't dare to walk out on him, would you?
Well, no, I...
Don't say it again, Lyle, please. You say you're in love with me, but Conway Denning represents an income, doesn't he? A big income for the Lyle Harris Agency.
For every penny I spend, I feel like a heel.
Even heels have to live.
Supposing I did dust my contract with Denning.
You won't ever do it, Lyle. Conway Denning's are hard to come by.
Well, what about you? You wouldn't live with him, but you couldn't resist coming over today, could you?
I don't love him anymore, if that's what you mean. You can't just go on loving something that isn't really there. Conway Denning only comes alive when the footlights go on. The rest of the time, he's posturing. Like a mechanical toy that says and does all the right things and stands off a little to watch the effect.
Well, I don't think he's posturing much about this phone call business. He is scared out of his wits.
There are so many people who have cause to hate Conway. You hate him,
Lyle. Oh, I wouldn't say right.
You hate him because he knows what you are. You hate yourself because you know he knows. Oh, it's too complicated to spell out. I suppose I hate him, too. Because 10 years ago, he meant so much to me.
And as for you, Bernstein, there's no need to sit there with that bovine expression on your face. That's how you sat during rehearsals while I produced this play.
Oh, charming. You're coming up for air, Pinky.
Now I know what the Inquisition must have been like. Denning thinks that because I handle the publicity for the show, I must be the guilty one. Oh, hello, Myrna.
Someone gave the story to the newspaper, Pinky?
Someone will give them another if Denning doesn't let up. Tonight promises to be a prize flopperoo.
Conway won't be.
Now, why not?
Oh, I know he's worried. But he always finds something to blow up about during the last few hours before opening. Takes his mind off the theatre.
You don't think he's putting them all through this purposely? I mean, just so that they'll be too exhausted to come up with him tonight?
Myrna, he's scared out of his wits, I tell you. I saw him this morning. I'll be surprised if he even goes to the theatre tonight.
I think whoever is ringing Conway like this knows him pretty well. If there's anything in it, if it's not a hoax, then it's somebody who knows that he'd have to be dead to miss his own opening night.
I could miss it cheerfully. I've had enough of his artistry this morning to last me a lifetime.
Come back in here, Pinkerton, or are you thinking of giving me a little more unpleasant publicity?
Look, Conway, old man, I...
Hello, Conway.
Myrna, what the devil are you doing here? Oh, yes, our lunch. Well, I'm afraid I'm too busy to worry about lunch today.
I rather gathered that. Lyle, perhaps I'll accept your offer after all.
I want you in here with the others, Harris.
Well, Lyle.
Myrna, I...
Are you coming or not, Harris?
Yes, Conway, yes, of course. Once. Myrna, I'm terribly sorry.
Goodbye, Lyle. Pinky, and good luck for the night, Conway. Who knows? Perhaps I'm the mysterious voice on the phone. Or perhaps it was I who gave the story to the newspaper.
Come on, Pinkerton, Harris.
Yes.
They're coming, old man.
Get in there with the others, and I'll be right with you.
Did you mean that just now, Myrna?
You're making a fool of yourself, Conway.
Someone in that room gave that story to the papers.
They're the people you need on your side tonight, Conway.
Who do you think the public will be coming to see, them or me?
All right, Conway, have it your own way. How's Grayson?
He's somewhat about the place, I suppose. Why?
I've never told you this before, Conway, but between us, Grayson was the final score.
What the devil does that mean? I gave the fellow a job.
As your valet. An ex-officer. You knew he had to accept that job, didn't you? That he wasn't even fitted for that or any other job. That he was existing on a pension that couldn't even keep him. What twisted, sadistic streak in your makeup could let you offer a job like that to the man who brought you back in the face of heavy machine gun fire? You could have given Captain Grayson money anonymously, as much money as his modest needs would require. But you offered him a job. Then he could be on hand to be a whipping boy like all the others.
Like Lyle, for instance?
Lyle?
I've watched him mooning after you, weighing his affection for my estranged wife against his 10% of my earnings. You never mentioned divorce, by the way, Mona.
Goodbye, Conway.
Or are you hoping that after tonight you won't have to ask for one?
Perhaps I am, Conway. Perhaps I am. How does it feel, by the way, not to have a friend in the world?
I've got one, Mona. Or have you forgotten? Vaughn Hadrick. He's all the friend I need.
You there, boy. Sit up. Look spry. Step lively. This is your great-grandpa, and then some. I've been called Johnny Reb, and I've been called Billy Yank. I'm a soldier. Civil War. What do you want to know about soldiering? Religion? Well, it was mighty important to us. Every outfit had its chaplain who'd not only preach to us soldiers, but would also hand out books and magazines and writing paper and serve coffee from his coffee wagon, write letters for soldiers who didn't know how. Why, he'd even teach classes in reading and writing. And then, when the battle lines was formed, he'd go right into the thick of it with them, comforting the wounded. And rain or shine, they'd be out there every Sunday, holding services, sometimes right out in the open, or under some trees, or in a tent, or in the trenches, just wherever they could. I guess they wasn't much different from the chaplains you got. And I guess that's what's so comforting about chaplains. Now, you, boy, you and I know they'll always be the same, always be around when you need them, for which we can all thank our lucky stars and stripes. Believe you me, son, it takes more than just men and guns and generals to make you an army. It takes having a man of God around and passing out the word of God and directing you in his way. Yes, sir, it takes a chaplain's corps, to which I'm sure you'll add your soldiers. Amen.
Go and open the door, Grayson. Just your coat tie, correct. There's a spot of dust on your lapel, Grayson. Not good enough, Grayson. After all, Grayson, you've had plenty of time to learn how to become a valet. You're not in the officer's mess now, old boy. Don't jerk at the door, Grayson. Open it slowly, deferentially, Grayson. Good afternoon, Mr. Hadrick.
Hello, Captain Grayson.
May I take your hat, sir?
Thanks.
If you'll step inside, sir, I'll inform Mr. Denning you're here.
How is he? Bundle of nerves, I suppose.
I should say it was the others who were in that condition, Mr. Hadrick.
The others? Why? What's going on?
Didn't you see the morning paper, sir?
Did you ever know a theatre critic before, Grayson?
No, sir.
I read the papers only when it contains a Vaughn Hadrick review. And then only to study the diabolical prose of my fellow contributors.
Will you wait in here, sir?
Oh, don't go. What's all this about the others and the papers?
That phone business. You know, someone's been ringing Mr. Denning and telling him not to open in the play tonight, threatening his life if he does.
Oh, that? Oh, I thought he was treating it as a joke.
Well, he was, but the story was in the papers this morning. He summoned the entire company here, and he's been, well, cross-examining them ever since. For more than 2.5 hours now.
What? Well, it's time he was stopped. Well, where is he?
In the drawing room, sir.
What kind of a performance does he think they'll give tonight? You mean this phone business has really got him down?
Yes, sir, it has. The last few days, he seems to have... Don't tell him I said this, sir.
He seems to be on the verge of a nervous breakdown.
Well, he better snap out of it. I've got to sit through the performance tonight, and if he wants a good Vaughan Hadrick review, he'd better get some rest.
How's the leg, by the way, sir?
Which one? The one I feel, which isn't there, or this contraption?
Sorry, sir, I didn't mean
to... Oh, it's all right. I wish I could still play cricket, though. I'd love to see an umpire give me out gammy leg before, would you?
I wonder why he sticks by him. What can he see that's worth being a friend to a man like Conway Denning?
I don't give a darn if we're here till the curtain goes up tonight. I thought someone had said they did get that up.
Do I applaud now, or I keep it for tonight, Conway?
Vaughan, dear boy.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. You're a positive savior, Vaughan.
Yes, but you can do something with him.
Like cutting his throat.
All right, well, you better all cut along and try and forget everything but the play.
If I can remember a single line now, I'll be shattered.
Well, you better remember them, Di. I'm going to give you a blistering if you don't.
Now, look here.
You're going to shut up. Go on, buzz off all of you.
I could almost kiss you, Vaughan.
Well, I'm almost thinking.
Are you looking forward to your next production, Burnside?
Only if it is in a monastery, preferably where everyone is taking a vow of silence.
Vaughan, darling, I don't care if you can me from now on. I'm your slave for life.
Well, Conway.
All right, I behaved badly, but this infernal business has driven me up the wall.
And so you take it out on everyone else.
Look here, Vaughan, it's all right for you. You're not on the receiving end of those phone calls. You don't know what it's like to see the clock coming up to 11 and wondering if he'll ring this time.
Well, is that why you gave up wearing a wristwatch?
Oh, that did a lot of good. During rehearsals, I could tell by the whole bunch of them that it was getting closer to the time. The look on their faces watching me, wondering whether I'd be able to laugh it off or not. I need a drink.
You don't have to go through with it, of course.
A little laughing stock is a waste end because I let some fool with a twisted sense of humor stop Conway Denning opening in a new play. Be your age, Vaughan. Will you?
No, I never drink before an opening night, Conway. You know that. It makes me too kind. There was a time when you didn't either.
It has to be someone in the company who leaked the story. It has to be.
That's as illogical as most of your reasoning. After all, you know, it could have been me.
You? I trust you with my life. Any news of Sandra?
No, not a word. She's vanished as if she'd never been.
And you go on as if nothing was wrong when your own daughter just walks out and vanishes.
It's 2 years to the day since she left.
Is it? It seems like yesterday. Poor kid. Do the police still hold out any hope at all?
No, very little. There have been cases of missing people turning up years later, amnesia cases, who suddenly clicked into place, as it were.
I wish there was something I could do.
There is. Calm down. And make it a good one tonight. I want to be able to come backstage with a smile on my face.
You always have. You always sat in my dressing room to write your review. I'll have a bottle waiting for you.
Well, if I can bring myself to come backstage, it means you get to read the review. If not, well, you read it in the morning paper.
Is that a threat?
It depends on you. Now get some rest. You look as though you need it.
I'd like to strangle him with my bare hands.
That's dangerous thinking just now, Pinky.
Are you telling me that you like him?
Darling, you don't like a man who doesn't care whether you can act or not, who allows you to appear in a Conway Denning play on certain conditions.
You didn't seem to be exactly fretting over this time.
I needed this part. I haven't played the West End for 3 years now. But when I stood on that bare stage auditioning for the part, he ordered a squat on me. Then he walked very slowly all the way down from the back of the theater and stood looking at me with a smile on his face. I was nervous and started to read the part. And he stopped me, reached up and took the play out of my hands. I started to walk off stage, and he called me back. He let me stand there for what seemed like an age. And he said, you'll do. And walked back up the empty aisle.
You don't have to tell us, Di.
Smile, I shouldn't mourn Conway Denning one little bit.
And without him, magic is a dream. We'd be lucky to last him.
The man's an utter beast, Bernie.
Well, you dream of such lovable titbits about him, Pinky. What was that guff you had in the Seeing Eye column yesterday? Conway Denning, beloved by fans and fellow actors alike, returns again to the scene of his greatest triumph.
Oh, don't please. I wrote that and went straight out to be violently ill.
It had that effect on me, too, when I read it.
So, anyone feel like a late lunch? Or anyone feel like a drink?
Desperately.
Matt has sense.
I'm going to propose a toast to the one amongst us who plans to kill Conway Denning.
You can't leave me now, Paul. You can't.
Darling, you're another man's wife. Do you think I could look Clive in the face again? We've got to part now before... Helen, Clive and I grew up together. I was his best man at your wedding.
But you've never even kissed me.
Oh, in my dreams, I've kissed you 1,000 times, Helen. In my dreams, I've held you close and smothered your eyes, your lips, your hair with caresses. That's why I can leave you now. Why I can know that we'll never see each other again.
Oh, Paul. Paul.
Don't, Helen. I want to remember the magic of you. The magic of you that I'll never share with anyone. Magic that for me will always be a dream.
I was so proud to be out there with you.
Where you die? Well, if you want to go on being out there, dear, don't move during my final speech.
Conway,
I... There were one or two other things I didn't like in your performance, Di. I'll take them up with you later. Good night.
Well, sorry to trouble you, Mr. Denning, but they're queuing up outside the stage door. Will I let them in?
Wait till I get this muck off my face, will you, Tanner? I'll send someone out with a message to the stage door.
Lord, I say, of course, sir.
Well, I'll be darned. You did get round here quickly. How was it, Vaughan?
Shut the door and I'll tell you.
I'll lock it, then we won't be disturbed. We'll keep that mob of fans waiting, and they'll wait. Sandra.
You're seeing things, Sandra.
Sandra. Oh, what's behind it? Why was she hiding behind the door?
You really overwrought, old boy. Here, have a drink.
No.
Sandra's my problem, not yours. You know, I thought they never let you off that stage. I didn't think you'd get back here in time.
In time? In time for what?
Our meeting. At 11 o'clock p.m. It's almost 10:58, Conway.
Then you... Then it was you. No, couldn't be. Not you. You're my friend.
And you would trust me with your life.
Yes, I would.
I knew nothing would stop you appearing tonight. I knew that we'd be here together, as we always have been, after a smash hit of yours.
I'm getting out of here.
Don't move, Conway. You've got a few seconds left yet. And I want you to hear about Sandra.
Huh?
I got home on the day you started rehearsals, Conway. I told my father the whole story. The story of that night, 2 years ago. When I discovered the kind of man my father's closest friend was.
She's lying, Andrew. You've got to believe me. Sandra, little Sandra. I wouldn't hurt her, boy. You know, I wouldn't hurt her.
I never worshipped you, Conway. And afterwards, I just wanted to hide. To not to have to see my father's face when I told him.
The voice on the phone wasn't hard to arrange, Conway.
No.
I knew then that we'd settle this as the curtain came down.
Please, boy, not like this. Not with a gun. I'll do anything, Vaughn. Anything. I'll do anything.
It's 11 o'clock, Daddy.
Hello.
Conway, I love the show. You were great.
Vaughn, please.
My review will be your obituary.
No.
It was the greatest performance I've ever seen you give.
Some of the symbols for heroism. One outstanding example is a cross of bronze with the design of a four-bladed propeller superimposed. In the background is a chased square. This is the Distinguished Flying Cross, authorized by Act of Congress in July 1926, and the only identical medal awarded under similar conditions by both the Army and Navy departments. This coveted decoration is suspended from a plain straight link attached to a blue ribbon with vertical white stripes on each side and a narrow center stripe of red bordered with white. It is awarded for heroism or extraordinary achievement while participating in aerial flight. Among the famous men receiving this outstanding symbol have been Captain Charles A. Lindbergh and Admiral Richard E. Byrd. The Distinguished Flying Cross is a proud award bestowed by a grateful nation on those dedicated men and women who serve gallantly and with extra measure. It is a goal worth attaining and a prize worth cherishing.
Be listening to another mounting drama of action and suspense when we again bring you The 11th Hour.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Recording, and for more happy listening, please visit otrcat.com.